Paragon 7 Studios. You are listening to the Lounge J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios.
Lounge J Radio Network. Sports talk and entertainment excellence, Sirius XM channel 141. When I hear this music, I think about Bill Goldberg entering the ring. This is Monday Nitro. This is TNT at the apex of their war with WWE. And so in the TNT crew, you had Bill Goldberg, who started off, I think he was 168-0. You had Hall and Nash. Then they were joined by Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hogan. Which Hulk Hogan turning heel, if you're a wrestling fan, and I wasn't a huge wrestling fan, but this captivated me when I saw at the Bash of the Beach when Hulk Hogan was the third outsider and did the leg drop on Randy Macho Man Savage. It just, I had to watch it. So on one channel, on TNT, you had all of that going on. You had Sting coming out of the roof. You had Lex Luger. You had Diamond Dallas Page. And then on the other channel, this was Monday Night Raw versus Monday Nitro. So on the other channel on USA, you had WWE. You had Stone Cold, Steve Austin. You had The Rock. It was just an amazing time to be a sports entertainment fan. And the reason that I'm bringing this up, I've been watching the docuseries on Vince McMahon and WWE. And it doesn't just talk about Vince McMahon and WWE. It really chronicles the history of modern wrestling. So it goes from the first couple of episodes, and this is on Netflix. If you're a wrestling fan or was a wrestling fan, like I said, I haven't watched wrestling in probably 25 years. But right after college, when this Nitro Monday Night Raw war was going on, and I think Eric Bischoff says 83 weeks. It was 83 weeks where Nitro dethroned WWE off of number one for cable television. But it was real cool watching this docuseries. It goes in from the early days, and then Andre the Giant was the first breakout star. And if you look at pictures, when I was a little kid, everybody was a giant to me when I was watching this stuff. 6, 7 years old. All of these guys were giants. When you look at Andre the Giant standing next to Hulk Hogan and Paul Orndorff and some of the other, Randy Macho Man Savage, Gorilla Monsoon, when you look at Andre the Giant next to those guys, this guy, and I say this in a positive, respectful way, this guy was a freak. As tall as he was, as heavy as he was, and it goes through Andre the Giant, it goes through how Vince McMahon purchased what would become the WWE, it was WWF then, World Wrestling Federation, purchased it from his father. So his father built it. That's when wrestling wasn't mainstream. Vince McMahon purchased it, and he was the first person to really get into the TV promos and really to get into building the characters and the storyline. Vince McMahon was never all that great on television. He doesn't seem to be the type of guy that you want to have a beer with or spending time with. He seems to be a narcissistic, self-absorbed, really, really flawed human being. One of the themes of the docuseries, we don't know if that's Vince McMahon, the real Vince McMahon, what he's like behind closed doors, or if that's the character that he plays. I don't think that Hulk Hogan is going around saying brother to everybody. I don't know if he's like that at home with his wife and family. I don't know if he's like that. Like if Hulk Hogan gets pulled over by the police, I think he lives in Tampa. If he gets pulled over in Tampa by the police, is when he rolls the window down, I don't think he's like, well, you know, brother, say your prayers and eat your vitamins. I don't think that he does that. These people are in character, and Vince McMahon was great at perpetuating the characters, the baby faces, the good guys and the heels. And they had trainers and stuff, and they would train people in. Vince McMahon was still some of the stars from the other circuits. He was the first guy to say, nah, I'm not staying in my territory, man. Bleep that. I'm going national. We're going to do a show in L.A. And then we're going to be in Omaha the next night, San Antonio the next night, Seattle the next night, Vancouver the next night, Calgary the next night, and then we're going to finish this leg of the tour in Columbus, Ohio. And Vince McMahon was a genius and brilliant in many ways. But as the docuseries goes on and it chronicles, so you have the early days, you have the early WrestleMania days, you have the emergence of Hulk Hogan as a superstar who usurped Andre the Giant. And then you go into the next phase. It goes into how successful that group was. It talked about, unfortunately, there are a lot of people in wrestling that have passed away. It touches on that. It talks about Bret Hart, who was my favorite wrestler growing up. I was a big Bret Hart and Ric Flair fan growing up. Wasn't a huge Hulk Hogan fan. Talks about the Montreal Screwjob and Bret Hart moving into WCW and Turner challenging WWE. And it's just a really good docuseries. And it goes to the next era. It goes into the era of The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin and many of the people that we have today that are phenomenal entertainers. But what really jumped off the page with me, and I thought was very interesting, I don't want to be judgmental. I was saying earlier on the show, I'm not a moralist. I'm not telling people what to do. But I found it interesting. And Vince McMahon, just like Michael Jordan, just like Kobe Bryant, just like Muhammad Ali, people that are the greatest ever at their sport, Serena Williams, Tiger Woods, a lot of these people have sociopathic tendencies. They want to win at all costs. They'll push their body to the limit. They'll push their craft to the limit. They'll do whatever it takes to win. They want to win. They want to win. They want to win. They want to win. Vince McMahon doesn't come from, he doesn't come from millions and millions of dollars. Like he's not Ted Turner. Back then, when what he inherited from his father or purchased from his father, they were a very middle-class family. Wrestling was not mainstream. It's not like now if you're the leader of a wrestling circuit, it might be worth millions, if not billions of dollars. Or UFC or something like that. This was back in the old days where you're performing in front of 500 drunk Billy Bobs, Cletus's and Cody's at the local YMCA. So this is not even Hulk Hogan slamming Andre the Giant, and this definitely isn't one of the current WrestleManias. This is not Roman Reigns. So Vince McMahon was very competitive, and a lot of these greats and visionaries are extraordinarily competitive. And what jumped off the page to me, and I'm not being critical of him personally, I'm not being moral, standing on a moral soapbox, but I found it interesting as you watch the docuseries. And this is in Vince McMahon's words. They're interviewing him. I love documentaries where the person is alive to actually participate. And it's not somebody talking about a deceased individual and, hey, or someone from back in the day. They can't, even like the documentary, the 30 for 30 on the Fab Five, well, these guys are all alive, and they couldn't get them together because Chris Webber's mad at Jalen Rose. And so you're talking about someone who's not really there to defend himself, and it's part of the story. Vince McMahon's sitting in the chair, and he's telling you, he's like, yeah, I've been an arse. Yeah, people don't really know who I am because I play this character on TV, and am I really that person? Am I really not? Yeah, I've done some despicable things in my life. Which I respect, you know, he's honest and he's owning it. But it seemed, as it got later into the war with Turner, and ultimately WWE won that war and purchased WCW, he started to get his daughter and son into the plot and his wife into the plot. And Vince McMahon's wife is the CEO, or was the CEO, of WWE during this time. And Vince McMahon was the owner. His son was heavily involved, was the executive. His daughter was involved. And they had this situation where they manufactured a relationship between his daughter and Triple H, and it actually came to fruition. She ended up marrying Triple H for real. But I was blown away that they had scenes because they would make his son and daughter were heels. And they would come into the ring and his daughter wrestled, his son wrestled. He would wrestle. He was in his late 50s, 60s at the time. And I remember his daughter was coming to the ring. And there are 20,000 people screaming, "You slut, you slut, you slut." And I was just like, wow. I don't care how much you're paying me. I don't care about the plot line and all of that. I'm not letting people call my daughter a slut. And then there's this one incident with Trish Stratus, who was kind of this bombshell vixen that was a wrestler. And she had to get on her hands and knees and beg Vince McMahon for forgiveness. And he made her take her top off and all of this stuff. And I was just, they really pushed the envelopes of entertainment. And Vince McMahon said himself on the documentary, he was like, the guys that watch wrestling, they will never be able to see a woman like Trish Stratus naked. Because that's not the type of women that they pull, which is ironically true. And he talks about we had to push the envelope and we had to do things that were sexist and misogynistic. And I had to put my family out there. I had to do a scene where I'm making out with another woman and my wife's in a coma and all of these things. And I thought it was interesting that Vince McMahon and his willingness to do whatever it took to win the ratings war. Put his family out there, put himself out there to turn wrestling, which was more GPG rated in the 80s when I was growing up, to more of a rated R, almost an NC-17 type of situation. And I just found that to be fascinating. I'm not in the judgment zone. It's entertainment. It's not real. But I can't imagine some of the scenes that they did and some of the concepts, some of the racist overtones, even taking it back to the Iron Sheik. We hate the guy from Iran. And you had Kamala, who was from Africa. None of these guys are really from those other countries. But they had this thing where they would bring in Nikolai Volkov. And those were heels because they were from other countries. And it's funny, that kind of plays into the racism of today. Like, we haven't changed that much as a country. We still collectively seemingly hate people that are from other regions and have other beliefs. And Vince McMahon played on that. There were the good guys, there were the bad guys. Sometimes the bad guys turn good, sometimes the good guys turn bad. But in many ways, Vince McMahon was a genius. Paragon 7 Studios.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
As a former quality executive who has literally retrieved and coded millions of charts, I've worked with our new partners over at Episource for many years and am proud to now serve as a brand ambassador and part of their product development team. Episource is a global industry leader in chart retrieval, coding, quality analytics, and in-home assessments. For information on Episource, go to www.episource.com and fill out one of their contact forms to request a demonstration.
James Lewis.
Some of the older kids were sitting behind me. They were making fun of my haircut. So you're sitting in church. I can hear them clowning. They're making fun of the haircut. They're having jokes. I'm sitting with my boys a row in front of them. We get to one of the parts where you have to stand in church. I think is where at our church, there's a part where you meet and greet people. So you shake people's hands, you pray with them. Hey, good to see you, elder. Good to see you.
Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
I turned around as we were all standing up to sing the next hymn, and I slapped the living hell out of this person. I mean, I slapped them. It was like Chris Rock getting slapped by Will Smith beforehand. The only thing I didn't do is like take a glove off like a Frenchman and slap him across the face with the glove. Like, I slapped. This is a 13-year-old slapping the taste out of a 17-year-old's mouth. Like, this guy was a star player on the basketball team. None of those guys ever mess with me ever again.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
At Jersey Mike's, they slice your order fresh right in front of you. And let me tell you, watching that can send a rush of emotions through a person. Excitement, impatience, baby-like wonder, indecisive, anticipatory chewing, nervous pacing, happy claps, and finally, jealousy, because that's this guy's sub. I should order one. Good idea. Sliced right in front of you. It's a Jersey Mike's thing. A sub above.